Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
And welcome back to yet another fascinating Mission Accepted podcast. You know you're the best audience. And look, if you just landed here for the first day, you are in for a treat because you saw Mission Accepted and thought that had something to do with you. And it probably does, whether you know it or not. You are about to embark on a mission. Someone's pushing you towards a mission. Someone's trying to drag you into a mission. Or you're just here to have a good time and laugh at people that take it and go, yeah, no, thank you. But I have to say the big shout out to what I say is the best podcast audience ever. And you know, every show you're something different because I find so many cool things about you. But I have to say that you are also the most well-directed audience we have ever seen on our show. And oh, guess what? We have an amazing director, actor, and known producer. Yeah, Kay Crystal Lowe is in the house, and she has produced, directed, and acted in probably many films that you have seen. Too many to mention, but we are going to do that during the show. We're excited to have her today because, as you know, we have been embarking upon this incredible 262 project, right? 262 women that went, I got some gumption. I'll put my words on a page. Okay. So that is who you're meeting today, as well as we have been able to capture her for a bit of time during her production to come and share and be on the stage with us. But mostly, I'm excited to be here because we had some pre-show conversations a couple of days ago. She has a project that is launching. I'm like, let's get on the show. Let's get this out there to people super quick because it's really important. Not only is the show amazing, and she's going to talk about that, but also it's really amazing the reality of what happens behind the set. We talk about it here in media about behind the curtain, right? This big project we got going on, what's going on behind the curtain? And most people can assume or know, but there's a lot of pieces that have to get together in someone's life to be able to align them to do things. They're doing it with guilt, doing it without guilt, bringing your kids on set, running from one appointment to the other, whatever it is that you have to do to align your mission with your other responsibilities and your other missions that you have going on in life can be quite, I would say quite a script itself. So let me bring to the stage. Hello. Thank you so much for coming. And, you know, I always want to say your full name, but Yan K. Crystal Lowe. And so Yan K. Crystal Lowe.
Welcome. That is my full name. And, yeah. You know, I go by both Yan K and I go by Crystal. So Crystal is fine too. They're both my names. That to sum up the story of that, because people were, you know, I'm known more as Crystal Lowe. I was told to change my name multiple times in the film, my film career, because I started when I was 15, because it was too Asian. And I was told I wouldn't work. And I was also, I lost jobs from being too Asian or not Asian enough. So they wanted me to whiten myself up. I know, super weird. And then they wanted me to Asian myself. All this, it was constant back and forth. Being biracial is a really weird thing in our industry. And then there came a point where I just said, no, I'm going to just have my own name. And that's my name. And I'm taking it back. I, you know, you can still call me Crystal. You can still call me Ann K, but those are both my names and I get to be the decider of that. So that sums it up. So call me either, but that gives you a little explanation of, because sometimes you'll see it in one or the other.
No, but I think it's always great to be able to share where things come from and why things are the way they are, right? And I think that our names and how we look and how we present and what we say and what we don't, and you know, the earrings you wear or the suit you carry or the type of briefcase and all those kind of things from a presentation in certain industries has been a major deciding factor, right?
Yeah, it's a really, you know, I would say, how do I not segue into this too long? Because it's such a huge topic. But so much of my own self-worth was completely and totally centered around how I looked. I started in the film and television industry very young, when I was, you know, 15. And I modeled as well. And so much of my identity and self-worth was built into this. And I was in an industry that you would literally walk in the door and they go, yeah, you're not pretty enough, or your eyebrows are too big, or you're, you know, and so much of the roles that I was going for were really based on how I looked, my appearance, as opposed to what my work was. And it took me a really long time to ask myself, can I do more? What can I do for myself? And I'm so lucky because I had a mother who's an English professor who could care less about looks. In fact, she's like, I think your body's just there to carry your brain around. You know, she was like she could care less. She does not care about that in any way, shape, or form, to the other extreme, right? So kind of kept balancing me out, and through the years kept saying, you're smart, you're funny. You could do more stuff. You could produce, you could direct. And I was like, go away, I'm that. You know, and of course, inevitably, your mother's always right, which is super annoying. And she was right. I wanted to explore a different side of myself. So yeah, that actually was a very large journey in me becoming a director, and also feeling like I had more to say, my voice was more important. And then I really started looking at things and going, wow, we don't have anything from the female gaze. Like all of our lives, we have been told what is beautiful and attractive from a male gaze. So I don't really even know, none of us do, what we personally find, you know, sexy or beautiful, because everything, the images that keep popping up are the majority. I've all been told by what men feel is attractive, and we've just been expected to live up to that standard. And that is something that I want to see change in film.
Yeah.
And it really changes in how I direct. You know, that's, I do it from my point of view and what I find attractive and what I think is cute, and discovering that through storytelling has been amazing. Yeah.
I don't want to say revelation, but it certainly has been, I mean, good for you, mom. You know what I mean? Like, you got to love the moms that just stay strong and steady. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, I love that. And I really love that your body is probably just, you know, there to carry your brain around.
Yeah.
I think it's a nice extreme to level out the playing field of kind of the places that we've been, you know, the cups that we've been drinking from in relationship to our body and production and image and all of that great stuff. So I think that's wonderful. And when you talk about the gaze of how we see things, I mean, you know, even if you go back to using your mom as an example, like, you know, children live what they learn. And we were talking a bit about that. And I was actually having a great conversation last night about that. And we were talking about, obviously, we're in this big women's project, and International Women's Day is just around the corner. And we're talking about how different generations see that. And I think very much we're impressed upon whichever culture we in, because beauty is very different no matter what country it is. Sometimes it's your body needs to be bigger. Some people are like, oh, my body's not big enough. In some countries, my body's not small enough. In some places, it's like, you know, I need to have a bigger part of this part of my body be bigger, or I need a part of my body to be smaller, or I need to be a different hair color, or I need to be a different, whatever it is, we all have that kind of cultural piece, but there is so much image based or perception based on image. And I do think it's kind of where we come from. We were talking about, you know, I know that you're a mother as well. And, you know, my son just turned 20 years old. And when I talk to him about the whole equal rights thing, he's like, he doesn't see it. Like, he doesn't see it, not because he's male. He doesn't see it because his generation is starting to equalize that. Like, I don't know, we did a photo shoot, there was just as many girls there as there was guys, or I don't know. Like, he's like, okay, I believe you. I'm just not having that experience. And I think that that's so great. But we also know that we also, those of us that have come from different places also know that still that fight is very real.
Yeah. And I think we still need to remember that it wasn't that long, you know, whenever I hear women say, and I feel like it was like a trend a while ago to be like, I'm not a feminist. I was like, but you are, because you believe in equality. We're not asking for, like, a feminist just means that we believe in like an equal playing field, which is never going to be totally equal, because that's not life, but more of an equal playing field than like 20%. And I do think it's really important for the females of this generation to remember, like, it wasn't that long ago that my mom couldn't even get a credit card. My mom, I'm I am age range 30s to 40s. So, you know, like I'm not that old. And so if my mother couldn't get a credit card and had to get my dad to sign, guys, we like just scratched the surface. And, you know, when I saw Barbie, if you guys have seen Barbie, which I thought was wonderful and really, you know, cool to see, I actually got annoyed and frustrated at America Ferrera's speech because I was like, well, doesn't everybody know this already? Like, doesn't everybody already know that we struggle with all these things? And then I was like, oh wait, no, they don't because our rights have all been taken away in separate states just recently. So, you know, like the fight is still there. And so I want to make sure we just remind our kiddos. I'm so glad that they're not seeing it because that means things are changing.
Right.
Just to keep remembering, you know, you got to keep moving forward. And there's always going to be someone there to push back. So just keep your eyes, you know, aware kind of thing.
No, absolutely. And I think also they're being raised in conscious homes. I remember I was asked to speak my hardest, honestly, it was the most difficult speech that I ever had to do. And it was to a room of 400 people. So that's fine. It's not like, you know, but it's enough that, you know, that blow it. It's 400 people. And they're like, okay, so they had a lineup of speakers and they're like, it's a 4-minute speech. And I'm like, oh, come on. They're like 4-minute speech. And my topic was how to raise conscious children. I'm like, you want me to teach how to raise conscious children? Cause I did a lot of that. Like I taught infant massage and I did a lot of that work in my early days. And so I was like, okay, so here it is. And I walk out on stage and I obviously gave 4 minutes, but I was like, I can pretty well sum it up in this. How to raise conscious children is to be a conscious parent. Mm. I mean, it's just that, you could bring it down to that, right? Because they learn what they live. And so we have this, you know, you are not having that same experience. I'm not having that same experience to the same degree until they go out there in the world. And my son just actually had a really interesting experience where he didn't get accepted for a grant because he wasn't, you know, he wasn't what they expect to be different. So it's a very interesting experience and a very interesting world. But yeah, just keeping your eyes wide open. There's a really beautiful woman, Kathy Holt, who she actually did the foreword for our book, by the way. And she spent her last 40 years in the United Nations in leadership women's circles. And I'm like, what a great woman to write the foreword to the book. Yeah. And she was sharing with myself and Dorothea, who, you know, we were doing an empowerment drop. And she was talking about that. And it was kind of shocking to me because sometimes you need to be shocked a little bit to be reminded. And she's like, it doesn't look from a North American standpoint. The pay will not be equal or statistically right now it's showing till 2056. I'm like 2056.
Oh my God.
But it's interesting. If it goes at the rate that it goes now, that is what it looks like from an equal pay standpoint. And I'm like, so it is important to remind and remember that sometimes even when you get a right, you have to maintain that right. And how can you maintain that right? Like, what is it that we can do? Because I'm like you, I'm a very much an equalizer. I don't think equal equation, you know, equal rights are going to come from exclusivity, right? Which is why our project is for those, you know, for women and those that support women. I think it needs to be an equal playing field all around, my personal opinion. But it's like, sometimes it's about getting there and then maintaining there. And you're in an industry that, you know, because you're in that industry, there's a lot of, you know, because the cameras are always on, And so what about someone like yourself, who's a mom, who's, you know, directing? Talk about how did you become a director in an industry that we know historically that's not been the roles women have been playing?
And being an artist, period, is like a very difficult. Being a director at all, whether you're male or female, is incredibly difficult. I think a lot of the directors just are continuing to work that are male is because they've been around for a lot longer. And so people just don't want to take any kind of risk. That's what they're afraid of. They don't want to risk their money. So they'll just go with what they know. And unfortunately that doesn't bode well for us because we weren't given that opportunity to show them that we can do well. When I first started, for me, I've always been an entrepreneur. And as soon as I get comfortable, I get bored. And then most recently, my very dear friend and the producer of my film actually called me a fear chaser, which nobody has ever called me that before. And I laughed. So I was like, oh my God, that's what I do. I'm a fear chaser. I love the feeling of like, oh, here we go. I have no idea what I'm doing, you know? So I bought a restaurant when I was young. That was the first time I experienced anxiety. I didn't know what it was. I had no idea how to write. I only have a high school education. I didn't know how to write a business plan. So I Googled business plan. And then I lied on my kitchen floor and cried, calling my mom, being like, my chest is tightening. And she was like, oh, that's anxiety. I was like, what is anxiety? Then I after purchasing that, it made me realize, oh, I can get money and I can get funding. Because I had to put together a package. Restaurants have 90% failure rate. So if you can get the funding for that and make that happen and create a storefront, which we then sold, and I didn't lose money on it, which is also crazy because they all lose money, then I can do anything. And I can do the thing I love the most, which is film. So that kind of pushed me in that direction. And then a girlfriend said, do you want to direct my short? And I was like, yeah, I do. And you know, inside I was terrified, but I'm really good at the BS. So I was like, I'll be fine. Totally fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll be great. This is going to be easy. And it was scary and not what I thought, but it came out really great. And then as that progressed, I was like, oh my God, I love this so much. I get to tell an entire story. Because as an actor, we only get to tell one character. We get to tell the nuance of that character in a way that nobody else gets. We actually understand the person. We're a vessel of empathy as an actor. So you get to like live in that person's body for a moment, which is brilliant. But as a director, I get to create a whole painting. And so I always describe it like the actors are the paint. You know, they're like the most beautiful nuances, colors of violet. But the director is the paintbrush. And so I get to pick up that brush and pick up all this paint and be like, what can I do? How can I create a world? And more importantly, how can I inspire people with my work? And I say that because I'm currently on I have been on a show called Signed, Sealed, Delivered, which is on the Hallmark Channel. I've been on it for almost 10 years, which is great. That was the first show I'd ever been on that people were coming up to me. I had this beautiful woman come up to me and tell me about her son who is on the spectrum. And she said, you know, he's a real big guy, so he has a hard time. People don't give him grace. They don't realize that he struggled and that it's hard for him. And she said, you know, whenever your show comes on, he just sits and watches it. And it's the only time in the day that the two of us just get to sit together and just watch a show. And then she cried and then I cried and then she gave me a Starbucks card. And I was like, why are you giving me a Starbucks card? Let me do a Starbucks card. You know, I think I realized the impact of storytelling in those moments. I know that there's a kid in a basement somewhere that does not feel loved, doesn't feel like he can be or she can be who they want to be, feels rejected or shamed or shunned. And when you watch film, that's the place that you can see yourself. That's the place that you can go, okay, well, maybe there's a different perspective. Maybe if I win in this world, they can accept me. Or maybe I can live my heartbreak through these characters and it's okay, you know, or for it to not be okay or learn perspective. And that is why I do what I do. Storytelling is the most important thing that we have. We've been doing it since we were cavemen. We wrote on walls to tell each other and warn each other or give each other hope. So that changed everything for me. As soon as I had that motivation, it doesn't matter now who tells me no, because I'm doing it for a higher purpose now. That higher purpose is to reach whoever I need to reach and give them a safe space. So I will keep going till I'm dead. And that's what I did. I fought and fought and fought and fought and raised money and went back to working in restaurants, cried in bathrooms, got recognized while I was doing that. Like, you know, I had to have a death of ego in order to accept who I was and what I was going to do. And that was me claiming it, not an outside force giving me validation. That was me saying, I am a filmmaker, regardless of anybody giving me a shot. Which means I'm going to have to make film, means I'm going to take my phone out, means I have to make tips and put them in my sock drawer while I'm raising my kids and, you know, beg people to give me their camera and beg locations to let me shoot. And from doing that and hustling that way, it got recognized by my, you know, parent network, Hallmark, who had been working for 8 years. And they gave me the first directing mentorship from their Make Her Mark initiative, which is to support female directors. So I got to then shadow a director, a female director from prep to boast. And then I got my own movie. which is coming out March 23rd.
So. And let's talk about that. I mean, before we do that, because there's lots of mic drops in there. Mm-hmm. I think that when you talk about how you were recognized, you know, and then you had to drop your ego. Yeah. And I think because that ego tells us that if we're here, you know, we can't go backwards. We can't do something different. We can't go to what we know. Like, it's okay when you're maybe a struggling artist to be like, you know, serving tables or whatever it is, that there's this idea that it's okay on your way up. But once you get there, that you can't go back. And, you know, when we hit certain plateaus in our career, there's times where we have to step back to go forward. Yeah. There's times where we have to go and fund. And that means that you're in the field. Do you know what I mean? Like, I talk about that. Like, I always say sometimes, you know, God puts me out as a foot soldier. I think like a general, but I gotta go be a foot soldier.
That's great. And
I'm in the trenches doing the deal with your team. I'll do that sale. You do that sale. Tag. I mean, we're you know, you're tag teaming until you get to where you are. And then if you wanna, and if you up the ante, if you go for your fear factor that you call, and you take it on, and then it's a whole different platform. But there is sometimes it is hard per se on the ego or what have you. You're like, oh great.
Yep.
Oh great. Yeah. It's like my fun, or it's like someone catching you crying in the elevator and you're stuck for the next four floors. You're like, this is awesome.
Yes. You know, I remember sitting in the bathroom, and I loved working at that restaurant actually, because I love them. And they actually let me shoot there for free. So like it all worked out, you know, like they were, and they're amazing, that place. Every time they're like, when do you want to come back? And I'm like, I kind of do, because I loved bartending, you know. I had to sit in the bathroom though with myself and be like, well, how bad do you want it? Because the arts is my, I always say the arts is my, I'm an addict, but I'm addicted to the arts.
Yeah.
How bad do you want it? I mean, you're going to have to fight harder than everybody else. And I don't mean like pound the pavement grind, because I think sometimes we get lost in that. Mm-hmm. It's just inch by inch. You just can't stop. You can't give up on yourself. That's all. And sometimes that means pulling back, like you just said, resetting and being like, okay, it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks of me. And I always think as soon as I get some sort of success, the universe is like, okay, we're going to cut you at the knees again. You know that, right? I've grown. I get it. But it's always a good reminder of why I'm actually doing it. What am I really doing this for? You know, money, sure. Yeah. I love a house and all that stuff. My kids to be good, but I'm not actually doing it for that. It's because it's the light that's in my soul. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to turn the light off for any reason. And especially now that I have children, because my kids are watching that and absorbing that I have a light, and I'm not going to extinguish it, because I would be devastated if they extinguished theirs.
Mm-hmm. You know? Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Get to the movie. Let's talk about this. Share. Come on. What's it called? What's it about?
It is called Shifting Gears. It is on March 23rd on the Hallmark Channel. It stars Tyler Hines and Kat Burrell, and it's about a female mechanic, which I love, because we have not seen that on the Hallmark Channel, who ends up, her dad's shop is in peril, and she ends up joining a reality car show repair competition, like the ones that you see on Netflix, only to find that her very handsome ex-boyfriend, who she is estranged from and hasn't spoken to in years, is also in that competition, vying for the same prize, you know. And so you, shocker, they may or may not fall in love. I have no idea. But if you want to watch something that makes you feel good, I'm a rom-com girl. I'm obsessed with rom-coms. I've seen To All the Boys, any John Hughes movie. I took inspiration from all that. If you are watching Hallmark, Shifting Gears, some Easter eggs. I'll tell you a little fun stuff. I love telling story with color so much. So I definitely used a color palette in that. She's in reds, he's in blues. And as they fall in love, you'll start seeing some purple tones. That's a fun little Easter egg to watch while you're watching the film. It's gonna be good. And Kristen Booth is also starring in that too, for all my other, like, to the Boys fans. And she's in Post Time Sealed Delivered with me. So,
That's amazing. I'm super excited. I mean, it's interesting because the Hallmark movies just have a reputation that outstands themselves in terms of a feel good movie, right? It's like I use movies as escapism. Mm. You know, I have a spectrum of movies that I like. And I am a rom-com background movie person. While I'm trying to cultivate, if I'm writing a book, if I'm doing this, if I'm formulating or what have you, I just need to hear some of that white noise. I know what's going to happen. I love what's going to happen. I know the line that's coming next. You know, I don't know how many times I've seen, you know, my son's like, if you have leap year on one more time, like, you know, it was Robin Hood Forever with Kevin Costner. And then I did a full enactment Robin Hood pre-wedding ceremony for us. I mean, So I think that they just bring about and evoke good feelings, no matter what's going on. And it's always good to see a hero. And I'm so glad that, I mean, we're not going to, you know, I'm sure you're not going to release the end of the movie. It's Hallmark. So who knows, maybe Hallmark's doing a twist. We don't know,
but it is definitely, it'll make you feel like the thing about Hallmark that they are really good at is, and especially now, cause they've diversified their slate so much. Finally, it feels very, very inclusive. But it just makes you feel like everything's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And so if things are not going great or you're just having a bad day, it's okay to watch something that makes you feel like it's okay. It's going to be okay. That's okay. That's what I do too. I am obsessed with putting that. I've seen Serendipity 50,000 times. Like, I don't even know why I love that movie, but I love that movie. I'm like, it's fate. It's going to bring them back together. And I've seen it, you know, it's just something that makes us feel like, I get it. I'm comforted. And that's what we are. We're like a warm blanket, you know?
Yeah. Oh, you know, congratulations. I mean, share with us a little bit. I know it's wrap up time, but share us a little bit from, we talked earlier. We talked a couple of days ago just about the realism and what would you like to see? Like, and I know that, you know, you had a woman who was going to have a baby and, you know, you really supported that being on your, you know, being on and what happened, what, you know, that process, what do you hope different for your industry?
A couple things. I think that we need to support parents working in every industry. It's okay if your kid's sick and you bring them to work. I think that that was something that happened on my sets. You know, one of my mentor was very, very pregnant and found out was, you know, had to leave halfway through. It's okay. We are humans. I think we need to start giving each other grace. I don't think pounding the pavement means that we give up our humanity. You can still accomplish work and get things done with a baby on your hip. I have literally breastfed while I produced an entire short, holding her while I'm making phone calls. I really want to see us give people grace in my industry specifically. We work 12 to 14 hour days and we don't remember that everyone has families and lives, and that is very important. The other change that I just want to see is, I know we're doing it already, but we gotta support each other. We have to be kind to one another. We have to give each other a hand when you can, even when you don't want to. I will help everyone and anyone, even people I don't really like, because I'm like, it's okay, you just need help. And you're not very nice all the time. But like, if you ask me a question, I'm gonna give you an answer that I hope will move you forward, because that's what what I'm putting out eventually will come back when it's supposed to come back. And I think it's important for us to remember that. That's how we move things, you know, is by backing each other, listening, and helping whenever you can, even when you don't want to. That would be what I would like to see.
Well said. Well said. Well, look, please tell everybody again where, when, how this movie and anything else that you've done and or doing. And we know we're going to have it all in the show notes. And then I've got one final question for you.
So Shifting Gears, March 23rd on the Hallmark Channel. Please find me. I'm at Official Crystal Lowe on Instagram. I'm posting tons of behind the scenes stuff from my directing journey. If you make her mark, I am getting set up to film something soon that I cannot talk about yet, but very exciting. And I will be announcing it on there as soon as possible. There's lots going on, but please. Oh, the other thing is on my Instagram, I always talk about glow ups. That's something that if you follow me, you'll see I did a year of trying to do a glow up for myself every single day. And I highly encourage you to do it for yourself. That's just 10 minutes of self-care. Usually it consists of me dancing to Whitney Houston in the, you know, by myself. But I give it to myself. I'm like 10 full minutes, you know, of it's okay to just do something for you for that time. You'll be a better parent. You'll be a better partner. And you'll be better at your job if you give yourself some grace.
All right. All right. Yeah. You heard it. A 10-minute glow up. Okay. I do 2 to 3 minutes. I'm going to take you on. I don't know if I'll do it every day, but I will take it on 10 minutes. Cause you know, okay. 10 minutes of something straight. Cause I'll do a couple minutes here and there, but 10 minutes straight Well, that's three songs. I've got, you know, that's three songs. I can do three songs in a row. I can do, well, I can be late for a meeting for three songs.
I can tell that you would give anybody 10 minutes. You know, you Absolutely. Would give anybody else 10 minutes without even blinking an eye. So I do think that it's weird that we are the type of people that will give anybody else 10 minutes, but not ourselves, because maybe, and it's not, yeah. You know, we're allowed. We need a little light fanning too.
Yeah. Good stuff. Okay. So here's your final question, my friend. Yes. You're on your way to a desert island,
yes.
And it's you and you, just you, and you're taking your suitcase and you have room for one album. Now I know you're going to, you know, drop me out Whitney Houston, but I'm going to give you two albums because everyone on set knows about Whitney Houston.
It's true.
The world knows about your girl crush. Okay. So let's say that Whitney Houston's already in your suitcase on the bottom. You're taking another album that you could not imagine not listening to for the rest of your day. What album or artist are you taking with you?
Okay. I'm going to say this is a new artist that I am actually obsessed with. If he had posters, I would put them on my wall. I'm like fangirling over him. It's so weird. And I'm going to his concert on March 23rd. They are called Nicotine Null. And I don't even want to tell you guys because I feel like they're mine and they haven't blown up yet. And I'm like, no, I'll never be able to afford their tickets again. But the lead singer was from America's Got Talent, I think. And he has a song, out. Oh my God, I'm blanking on the name but it was on America's Got Talent. And I watched him and I was like, this guy, who is this guy? He's the real deal. Just wait, that guy will be blowing up soon. So Nicotine Doll.
Well, you know what? Hey, and good for you for giving him a good shout out, right? Because he's clearly on his way up and he's on March 23rd, which is, you're going to have like such a double day.
I know. March 26th. What am I talking about? March 23rd is my movie. I can't think. March 26th.
I was like, look at you go, girl. Like you're going to be. Look at you. That's dedicated. Okay. So March is a big month for you. We got St. Patrick's Day. We got March 8th, International Women's Day. It's an incredible month for you. I'm so excited. Thank you for spending some time with us. Thank you for sharing your story. You know, like I do, that stories matter. And we're super excited to have you on the stage. We're really excited on May 11th to have this book hit the market. So everyone, you know what to do. If you want to be sitting where Yan K. Crystal Lowe is sitting, then you know where to call me, devdrummond.com. Not call me, but email me. And if you want to know about the events, the 262 Summit and the book launch, just go to the site, go to 262 Project, have at her, go to the events page. All of the events are there and you can come join us because as of the marketer doing 10 summits in 10 weeks.